listening to 1008 Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's Adam Richmond from the Travel Channel, and you are feasting your ears on Tailgate Radio with the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Remember, chew carefully and eat mightily.
From coast to coast and border to border, it's Tailgate Radio.
Hey there, Tailgate Nation. Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode of Tailgate Radio. I'm the Grill Sergeant, John Largent. Thank you so much for joining me this week. We've got a great show, and this week's show is all about the funny. And when I mean all about the funny, I mean we've got a great comedian. Nick Benson is going to join us this week. He's an improvisational comedian. And what caught my eye while we're talking to him this week all goes back to a video I saw on YouTube about him interviewing some fans out in a parking lot at a college football game. And it just kind of morphs from there. And we talk about all sorts of things, from sports to sports predictions to the world of comedy to the competition within that. It's just a fantastic interview. And I think it gives you real insight into people that are in that business, because that's a tough industry. And he seems to be doing very well. And so we are super excited. Stick with us. We'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this. Tailgate Nation, I want to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers healthy 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your door. All their products are humanely raised, the way nature intended, and free from antibiotics and hormones. Plus, each box comes with at least 8 to 11 pounds of meat, which is enough for 24 individual-sized meals. Think of them as the neighborhood butcher for modern America, with 5 different box types, including all beef, beef and chicken, beef and pork, the mixed box, and the custom box, which lets you choose your own cuts. Order now and get $10 off plus free bacon by using the code TAILGATE at ButcherBox.com. You can cancel anytime without penalty, so give it a try. Plus, by taking out the middleman and purchasing directly from a collective of ranches, ButcherBox is able to offer a price of just $129 a month, which works out to be less than $6 a meal. And shipping is free anywhere in the 48 contiguous states. So go give it a try. That's ButcherBox.com. Offer code Tailgate and order now to get $10 off plus free bacon. Free bacon. Check it out. That's butcherbox.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Parking Attendant Flashlight Waver. Leaving the security of your 2x2 foot heated hut, you light the way.
Show me the way now.
Defying physics and most insurance policies, you wedge my midsize into the space of a compact. While you act like you couldn't care less about my car, I know deep down inside, you don't. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, O czar of the parked car. As long as that extra sawbuck translates to easy out, we'll keep pulling her in. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
You're listening to 1008 Radio.
Amazing, ain't it?
Some of us have come to call it the Freak Show.
And welcome back to Tailgate Radio, the Grill Sergeant John Largent. Thank you again so much for downloading this week's episode. We are so happy to have comedian Nick Benson here on Tailgate Radio this week. And before we talk to him, I want you to take a listen to a day he had in the parking lot at your friendly neighborhood college campus.
So you guys go to Western Kentucky?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
You guys tailgate a lot?
We come out every time there's a football game.
Every time there's a football game, we're here.
I notice you always drink out of bags. You like to write in class?
No.
You have an iPad?
No.
I like to write stuff.
Big Red was the school mascot in what year?
Every year.
Damn it. That was a trick question. You got it. How long have you been going to school here?
you. I'm a fifth-year senior doing my victory lap here at Western Kentucky. Woo!
So you're just not smart.
KA was founded in 1865.
Like just the letters? Where was the rest of the alphabet?
I'm homeless and sad. I masturbate a lot, so...
Western Kentucky was established in what year?
I don't know.
You go here, right?
Yeah.
Africa's a country.
Right.
Yeah.
You're saying that it's a country.
I guess.
Would you say the whole continent itself's the country?
No. There's countries within a continent. Africa's a continent.
What do you think Big Red is to you?
Big Red? I mean, he's like a hill.
He's a hill himself, or he's on a hill?
He is a hill himself.
I noticed you got like a, it's like where the wild things are.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that what you were going for?
Yes, I mean, we're different, so we're trying to promote that. So.
This guy's got the flag. Tell me something about yourself.
Well, I love flags.
You guys have been tailgaters for...
2 years.
This is our third year.
Three years.
I struggle with math myself.
I still laugh every time I see that video, and I want to bring in the guy responsible for it. He is comedian Nick Benson. Nick, welcome into Tailgate Radio.
How's it going, John? Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, when did you originally create that video?
Yeah, just kind of one of those things that I had been wanting to do for a long time while I was at WKU, and that was actually, that video was during my last semester at Western Kentucky. And it ended up being a project to turn in for a class, and we obviously didn't follow the rubric as well as we probably should have. But I was totally fine with it because I think we ended up with a decently funny product, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, as the folks heard earlier, there was just some comedy gold in there. And I don't know, were you like a hunter out there in the parking lot during the process? Did you just see like easy targets, or was it just kind of more organic? And as you went down the road with some of the folks that you talked to, it just became more and more funny to just talk to these folks.
You know, it was a little bit of both. There were definitely some people you could tell that would be entertaining to ask questions to, some that just saw us with a camera that actually approached us. And so then things kind of got organic on both levels, and there's a lot more footage that I have. And I even had to edit down a lot of it just because we had so much going on. It's amazing what someone with a camera and a crowd, and it actually attracts a lot of attention, and it was great. So we would just kind of get some questions rolling. You know, tailgates, people generally drink lots of water, in quotations, and so it got interesting throughout the day. As the day got a little later, it was definitely more entertaining. Even ran into people that had I don't even know what you would call it, a keg cart that they were pushing around. And we got to interview them, so just a lot of fun, really. It was a little spontaneous. I mean, like I said, kind of, it was just an idea that I had and was inspired by. And I didn't really have any, we didn't do any dry runs. We just kind of got out there, started filming. And I'm an improviser at heart, and so I'll do a lot of improv comedy. And I was actually up with Happy Guests Comedy up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which people should check them out. They're awesome improv troupe up there. And so I've had experience doing that. And so we kind of just got out there and I let it be organic and I like to let it flow. I honestly didn't have any of those questions written down. It was all improvised. All the answers were improvised by the people in the video. And, it was a blast.
When you got the video footage back and you started going through the editing process, did you realize that you had comedy gold in your hands there?
You know, it was it's one of those things where you're kind of your worst critic, and I'm always hard on myself, and sometimes I was looking through the footage and I'm like, man, I don't know like that would be funny. And it was a long editing process, and I edited the whole thing, and I was just kind of like, I don't know what would be good here. And it was more about the placement of the editing process too. But I definitely knew that people were going to get some laughs. And I saw some clips, and I was laughing myself at what people were saying, and I was like, man, if I think this is funny, I really hope other people think this is funny. And I didn't think, honestly, it would get as many views as it has so far. And I definitely didn't think it would get this much attention, to put it that way. So I don't know if I did know at the time that it was going to be this big of a deal.
Yeah, and you know what's really great is that for every Western Kentucky University tailgate party, there are generally hundreds going on every week at the same time. And all of that comedy is just waiting to come out in all of those other campuses. And I really hope that we get to see more of that from you in the future.
Yeah, I would love to do more of that. And I would love to go experience that myself and definitely bring there. Like, yeah, like you said, I mean, literally there is one day dedicated in the fall every Saturday, and just hundreds of campuses doing kind of the same thing. So there is just a lot of potential for where this can go. And, yeah, I would love to provide more videos for the future.
Now, from a sports background, are you a sports fan? Is this something that was a one-off for you? Or do you generally enjoy sports and attend sporting events and tailgate, for that matter?
I do. I've always been a sports fan. We actually grew up and were raised as Ohio State fans. So, you know, being in the South, for me, it's been a tough run, except for the football season this year. So I get to gloat about that finally. And when I was younger, back when, like, Michael Jordan was playing, so I loved watching the Bulls play. So I really grew up with sports. My dad was big in baseball, and I grew up playing sports. So I was kind of already a sports guy. But comedy is my other big passion, and I kind of made a hybrid out of it. And I had tailgated before, and I'm sure I would have been an interesting case for some interviews back when I was first starting college. And it all just kind of came together in that sense. I was like, why don't I kind of do both passions in one video?
Being a comedian, being someone that's good at improvisation, can you talk to us about how you've made that transition, what your background is in that, and really what turned the light bulb on for you in that regard?
In the regard of just kind of comedy and improv and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't, it's kind of funny. I was always kind of shy when I was younger, and I never really ventured out of my comfort zone. And I got into, when I was in middle school, I'll give a shout out to my sixth grade teacher, Jennifer Keese, who's still at Grassland Middle School in Tennessee. She was a theater person, and she got hired as a science teacher. And she was not, that was not her favorite subject. And so I think a lot of times she would get frustrated. She'd be like, all right, well, we're going to play some improv games. And she would show us these improv games. And we would kind of play those. And I don't know what it was. Like, the first time I got up there to play that improv game in sixth grade, I just loved it. And people were laughing. And then we would always play in class, and people wanted me to go up there and kind of play around. And I was just loving it. And then I kind of did some theater in high school, and got to do a little more. And then when college came around, I really kind of realized the passion I had for improv comedy and just entertaining people in general. It's just something that I can't explain. It's just kind of like this high, and it's really awesome to get people out of their comfort zones and laugh about stuff that maybe they wouldn't normally laugh about, or maybe even feel bad laughing about. And it was a blast, and I auditioned for Happy Guest Improv in Kentucky my freshman year, and I was blessed to know a buddy of mine, Chris Callahan, who was in high school with me, who was actually already on the team. He was a year older. And so I got to kind of get in that group with them, and really just kind of grew as far as improv goes with the passion. And, you know, I've read all the books and, you know, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler books, and just kind of grew to learn it as a skill, and it's just something I really love to do. And it just kind of got started randomly, and I've just kind of grown off of it. And it seems like people haven't been unsatisfied, and I feel like I really enjoy it, so I've stuck with it.
Who were some of your early comedic or improvisational influences?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I grew up, we always watched Saturday Night Live, and that's still the dream job at some point for me. But I remember always watching Will Ferrell, and some of the movies he made right after he got out of SNL was just the biggest inspiration. He is honestly one of my biggest idols as a comedian. I love Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Gosh, there's a lot. I've been real into Fred Armisen a lot lately too, and he's got that show on Torlandia now on IFC. So just there's a lot of just really good comedians that have influenced me. You know, watching like Robin Williams in his early days, you know, stuff like that. I mean, just so many comics that have inspired not just me, but a lot of comedians today.
So you're based in Nashville. What's the comedy scene like in Nashville?
Nashville's becoming kind of an interesting melting pot. It's got the country music, you know, and it's got Broadway, kind of the main area for country music. But there's a lot going on other than country music now, it seems like, in Nashville. I studied film at Western Kentucky while I was there, and so I've been kind of trying to find some film work around here. I mean, there's a lot of production stuff with music videos because of the country music, but there's also a lot of, you know, short films and things like that that are starting to come into Nashville, and the comedy scene is kind of taking advantage of that, I feel like, in a way. There's always open mics going on. I know Zanies is in Nashville, and they actually have a lot of high-end comedians coming in. It's not a big deal, but they actually pull quite a bit of comedy here, and there's actually a lot of improv troops. I actually just the other night went to an improv show and got to talk to some of them, and they did a great job, and I got to play around after the show. They did an open improv thing, and it's actually growing quite a bit in Nashville, and I think Nashville is kind of a growing city.
In Nashville, is it a competitive environment, or is it more supportive and everybody's in it together and whatever you can do to pull each other together? Because I know, I'm a big fan of comedy and have, you know, done some homework and research, and I remember back in the late 70s, the comedy scene up in Boston, and there were just so many big names of comedy that started in Boston, but it seemed like it was a very competitive atmosphere, and of course back then the big thing was getting booked on Johnny Carson, and when some of them did, they weren't real supportive of each other because they felt like they had gotten ahead right of the competition. Do you feel any of that, or do you sense any of that right now?
You know, it's always going to be a competition, I feel like, with comedy. It really is. You kind of just have to look out for yourself, but also meet people and kind of network yourself, in a sense. It's a strange line of work, in a way, and it's kind of a long road, and it takes a while. You definitely have to meet the right people. I mean, you have to definitely impress people, impress the right people. And, yeah, you kind of want to make sure that you're doing good for yourself. But, you know, I do meet a lot of really talented people, and it's always very heartwarming, though, seeing them, because you share that same passion. And, I mean, I always like to help anyone I can. And there's definitely that competition, like the Johnny Carson competition, for sure, and everyone wants their chance, but I feel like a lot of comedians also help each other out, and in this day and age too, with I mean, everything from like web series and, I mean, even comedy podcasts, and all the channel networks now, I feel like a lot of comedians can join together, and there's been a lot of building for comedy, in a sense, and now it's not just that Johnny Carson spot. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity now for comedians to kind of, I don't know, get abroad, in a sense, and maybe get discovered from the types of crowds that like them that maybe wouldn't normally back in the day.
Yeah, and by the way, for those of you under 25, Johnny Carson used to host a nightly talk show. Jay Leno took his place. In case some of you don't remember, because I know I'm aging myself.
I'll say, hey, I'm 23, and I love Johnny Carson. So if they're under 25. They should definitely look him up.
So. Some of that is just absolutely unbelievably funny still. And good comedy, I mean, and you would know better than me, but good comedy is pretty much timeless. It's funny now. It'll be funny 100 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very true statement.
How can folks see what you're all about, check out your content, and maybe reach out to you?
Folks can reach out, go on to YouTube, watch that video you were talking about. They just have to Google WKU Tailgate Interviews. It'll pop right up. And but I would like them to go onto YouTube, follow me at Father Oliver Comedy. I'm actually a single father right now, and my son's name's Oliver. It's kind of how I derived that name. For the page, people can subscribe to that, share the videos that I start posting. It's going to become a much more frequent thing. And then I'm on Twitter at Benson050, Benson. So yeah, those are the main things. And it's the same name for Instagram, Benson050, if you want to follow me on kind of any social media.
Well, Nick, I want to thank you so much for coming into Tailgate Radio this week, and I wish you the best of luck. And I'm serious. We need to talk about that special correspondence come football season, because I think that would be a blast.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. I think ESPN would even be jealous, John.
I agree. And then they would try to steal it from us.
They would try to steal it from us, but they'd have to offer us, you know, some of this March Madness tournament money.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Foam Finger Maker.
Mr. Giant Foam Finger Maker.
Without you, our teams would be in sixth or seventh place and feel as if they were in sixth or seventh place.
Can you feel it?
Carefully, you craft uncanny representations of actual human hands, so that we may wave them annoyingly in the faces of our rivals.
In your face.
They're enormous, yes, yet one size fits all. Brilliant.
Raise them to the sky now.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Foam Finger Maker, and know we speak for sports fans everywhere when we say, no, you're number one.
Giant Foam Finger Maker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.